It's Ember Wednesday in the first week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. We continue our pilgrimage to the Roman station today, which is Santa Maria Maggiore, St. Mary Major, one of the four major papal basilicas. Now, they used to be called patriarchal basilicas. According to pious legend, in August of 352, a Roman aristocrat dreamt that the Blessed Virgin Mary wanted him to build a church on a site she would reveal to him. On the 5th of August, there was a miraculous snowfall. Miraculous, given how hot it is in Rome during August. The snow fell on the Esquiline Hill, and that is where they built the beautiful basilica dedicated to the Mother of God. Each year on the 5th of August, white rose petals are dropped through the magnificent gold-coffered ceiling to commemorate the miraculous snowfall. In 431, just after the Council of Ephesus declared Mary the Mother of God, Pope Sixtus III constructed this present basilica and had his deacon Leo design and execute the mosaics of the interior triumphal arch. That deacon would soon after, he became Pope Leo I, called the Great, and we have many of his sermons, and you can hear in his sermons themes that are in the mosaics that he designed. Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of this week are Ember Days. There are four sets of Ember Days in the traditional calendar. These are days of special penance and prayer. They fall roughly at the changing of the seasons of the year. The Roman practice of the Ember Days are probably rooted in pagan customs, but by the 3rd century they had been thoroughly Christianized, baptized with new meanings. The Ember Days parallel also the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles and the Day of Atonement. The traditional calendar keeps us more closely connected to the rhythm of our planet's year and the changes of the seasons, and therefore it gives us a much stronger sense of sacred time and the swift passing of our own fleeting days. I've been reading to you from Cardinal Richelieu's treatise on perfection, Saintly Counsel on Obtaining Salvation. And toward the back of this slim little volume that's been put out by Tan Books, there are 20 of the Cardinal's counsels, and we are up to number 6. Counsel 6. One should pay more attention to one's own faults than to one's merits, and one should pay more attention to the merits of others than to their faults. A piece of advice which is very useful in leading one towards perfection in Christian life is that whenever we consider ourselves, we should pay more attention to our faults than to our merits. But, conversely, whenever we consider other people, we should pay more attention to their merits than to their faults. Each of us is born with a certain natural tendency to judge ourselves more favorably than others. It is for this very reason that Jesus Christ earnestly counsels us in the gospel to be extremely cautious about considering ourselves as being holier or more righteous than other people. It is true that reflection on our own faults does not suffice to remove them, but it does generally help to moderate and control them. In contrast, reflection upon our own merits often leads to pride and presumption, and if we do not recognize the merits of others or refuse to acknowledge them, we become unable to improve ourselves by means of imitating them. On the other hand, if we are excessively attentive to the faults and vices of others, we can easily fall into detraction and even calumny. I urge all those who seek after true sanctity to believe that sincere humility, which is nothing other than honest knowledge of oneself, is the basis of all Christian virtue. If we are constantly and generously observant of the merits of others and equally attentive to faults in our own thoughts or conduct, we shall surely grow both in love of our neighbor as well as accurate and realistic knowledge of ourselves.